All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going back a few decades and looking at a case from Connecticut, Collins v. Lewis, back in the 1930s. For those of you out there in law school land listening to this, I know you've probably heard this one
Oh
before.
yeah, a classic.
It's a bit of a chestnut, but it's a good one for illustrating some really important concepts. So we're going to go through the facts and then kind of tease out what we can learn from this case. This is going to be a good one for really anyone who's dealing with contracts
Absolutely.
or property law.
Yep.
I think this is a classic example of a case that kind of sits at that
Yeah.
intersection.
Yeah, it's all about like implied obligations. Like, when do you have to pay for something, even if you haven't like signed an agreement? When does your conduct basically mean you're on the hook for something?
And we're also going to see that ownership isn't always so cut and dry.
Exactly. Like, who has the piece of paper that says they own it isn't the whole story.
So let's dive in, shall we?
Let's do it.
So the facts of Collins v. Lewis. We start off with a deputy sheriff,
Okay.
this guy named Collins,
All right.
and he is doing his job. He's out there executing a writ of attachment. So he's basically going out and seizing property as part of a legal process. And in this case, the goods in question are 10 cows.
10 cows. Wow.
10 cows belonging to a Charles Kinn.
All right.
Now, here's where things get interesting.
Okay.
Kinn, he didn't actually fully own these cows.
Oh.
He had them under what's called a conditional sale contract with a guy named Lewis.
Okay.
So
Let's
maybe you might.
unpack that a little bit. A conditional sale contract.
So think of it this way. You know when you buy a car, right? You drive it off the lot, but you don't get the official title until you've made all your payments.
Yeah. You're still making payments.
Yeah.
Got it.
So in this case, Ken had the cows. He could use them. He had them on his property. But Lewis, the other guy in this scenario, was the one who held the legal title.
Okay.
So he was technically the owner until.
So it's like the bank still owns your car until you make the last payment. Okay.
So Ken had what we call in the law an equitable interest in those cows.
Okay.
He had the right to become the full owner once he paid everything off.
Right.
That's an important concept in property law.
So that's an actual legal right. It's not
Ignorance.
just like a wish or a hope.
It's not just a dream.
He's got something he can go to court and enforce. Okay.
So Collins goes out there, seizes the 10 cows. At this point, he doesn't even know that Lewis is the legal owner.
Okay.
But as it turns out later, the court's going to rule that that attachment was totally legal,
Right.
even though Kim didn't have full ownership.
Interesting. So even though he didn't have that full ownership, his partial ownership was enough to have the cows attached. That's fascinating. Why is that? Why would the court say that's okay?
The court recognized that even though Ken didn't have that piece of paper, he still had a possessory interest. He had that equitable interest, that right to become the owner, and creditors can go after those kinds of interests.
Okay. So they're saying, look, even though he doesn't have full ownership, he's got enough of a right to these cows that it's fair game.
That it's attachable. And the fact that Collins might have been a little mistaken about the full extent of Kent's ownership didn't change the fact that the attachment itself was legal.
Got it. So they focused on what Kid had, not on what Collins knew about what can happen.
Exactly,
Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
So now we got Collins.
He's got 10 cows.
He's got these 10 cows. And he's like, okay, well, now I know Lewis is the owner. I'm going to try to give these cows back to Ken.
Seems logical.
Makes sense, right? But Ken's like, no, I don't want them.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he refuses to take them back.
He refuses. He's like, nah, I'm good.
That's interesting. Why would he do that?
Well, maybe he's thinking these cows have now been caught up in this legal mess. I don't fully own them anyway. I'm just going to wash my hands of the whole situation.
That's like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that makes sense.
So now Collins is stuck.
Yeah, 10 cows. Nobody wants them. What happens?
So he does the reasonable thing. He contacts Lewis and
The
says,
actual owner.
hey, I've got your cows. Can I bring them over to you? And Lewis says, no, I don't have space right now.
No space right now. What? Come
I
on.
know, right? It's like, 10 cows.
You'd think you'd make some space.
You would think this would be a priority.
It's not like you can just leave them on the side of the road.
Exactly. What was Lewis thinking? I mean, the case doesn't tell us that, does it?
No, it doesn't. But this is really important because this is what sets up this question of an implied contract.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So Collins is in a tough spot.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to do with these 10 cows?
Yeah.
He can't abandon them.
Right.
So he takes care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does something very smart.
Okay.
He sends Lewis a very clear letter.
Right.
And in this letter, he says, hey, just so you know, I'm holding these cows for you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to expect to be paid for this. I'm going to expect to be paid.
Oh, smart move.
Boarding costs for taking care of these animals for you.
Yeah, putting it in writing.
Yeah.
So that there's no question later.
Right. Okay.
And this is so important for you law students out there.
Yeah.
Because this is evidence of Collins's intent, right?
Absolutely. This is him saying, look, I'm not just being nice here.
Right.
I expect to be compensated for this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Collins ends up holding onto these cows for 38 days.
38 days.
Total cost, $190.
$190. Wow. So that's like...
Not bad.
Less than $5 a day per cow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I guess that was back in the 30s.
Back in the 30s?
Yeah.
Inflation and all.
And so eventually Lewis does come and get the cows.
Okay.
And we know that he later sells them.
So he clearly benefited from getting those cows back.
Right.
Yeah.
But when Collins sends him the bill for $190 for the 38 days of care.
Yeah.
Lewis says, nope. Not paying you.
Oh, come on.
So Collins, I think understandably so,
yeah.
Sues him.
Takes him to court.
Goes to court.
Yeah.
And he's arguing that, look, there was this implied contract, or at least I deserve to be compensated somehow.
Right, right.
So the court now has to deal with a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, was that attachment of the cows even legal in the first place?
Right, because Gaudet didn't have full ownership.
Right. So we kind of already talked about that a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe we could just quickly recap.
Yeah.
What did the court say about that? Was that attachment valid?
So the court said yes, it was valid.
Yeah.
They upheld the attachment.
Okay.
And their reasoning was basically that, you know, Kin had enough of an interest in those cows for it to be attachable.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter.
It was a legally protected interest.
It didn't matter that Collins didn't have all the facts straight.
Right.
It was still a legal attachment.
Okay. So that first hurdle they got over,
right.
They said, okay, the attachment was legal.
Yeah.
But now the big question,
yeah.
Did Lewis have to pay?
Right.
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 Even though there was never like a signed contract for boarding these cows.
Right. They never sat down.
They never shook hands on it.
At a table and signed a piece of paper.
Right. So how does the court even begin to figure this out?
Yeah. So this is where we get into the idea of an implied contract, right?
Okay.
So an implied contract is different from what we call an express contract,
yeah.
Where you explicitly agree to terms, either in writing
right.
or even orally.
Right, like a handshake deal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With an implied contract, you're looking at the conduct of the parties.
Okay.
You're looking at the circumstances
right.
to see if there was a meeting of the minds.
So we're trying to figure out what they intended.
Yeah.
Based on how they acted.
What's on their actions.
Okay.
Now, the court also looked at... something called a quasi-contract.
Quasi-contract. That's kind of a weird word.
It is a weird word.
What is that?
And it's often talked about in the context of implied contracts.
Okay.
But a quasi-contract isn't a real contract.
Okay.
It's more of a legal fiction.
A legal fiction.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So the courts created this idea to prevent something called unjust enrichment.
Unjust enrichment.
Yeah. It's basically where one party benefits unfairly.
Okay.
At the expense of another.
Okay. So like if I accidentally mowed my neighbor's lawn.
Yeah.
And they just like sat there and watched me.
Yeah.
And didn't say anything.
Yeah.
That would be unjust enrichment.
Yeah. Potentially.
Okay. So that's what the court is trying to figure out here with this quasi-contract idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in this case, the court really focused on the idea that Lewis accepted a benefit.
Okay. So they're looking at Lewis's behavior.
Yeah.
What did he do that made them think that he had accepted this benefit?
Right. So the court is using this two-part test to see if there's an implied contract.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the two-part test?
The first part is, did the person who provided the service, in this case Collins, did he have a reasonable expectation of being paid?
Okay.
And second, did the other person, in this case Lewis, did he know about that expectation and accept the benefit of those services?
So both of those things have to be true.
Both have to be true for there to be an implied contract.
Okay.
So in this case, it's pretty clear that Collins expected to be paid.
Yeah, he sent the letter.
He sent the letter.
Made it very clear.
He's taking care of these cows.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
Right.
He's doing this because he expects to be compensated.
Okay.
Now with Lewis, it's a little trickier.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he kind of said no at first.
Right.
But then eventually he took the cows.
Exactly. So the court's looking at his actions.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, he knew that Collins was caring for the cows. He knew Collins expected to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say no outright. He just said, I don't have space right now.
Right. So maybe just a temporary issue.
Right.
Not a total refusal.
And importantly, he eventually took the cows back.
Yeah.
And then he sold them.
Yeah, made a profit.
So the court is saying, look,
mm-hmm.
by taking those cows back and selling them,
yeah.
you benefited from those 38 days of care.
Yeah. You can't just pretend like that didn't happen.
Right.
So even though he initially said no space, the fact that he later took the cows and sold them
yeah.
meant that he accepted the benefit.
Yeah, he availed himself, as the legal term is,
availed himself.
Of that benefit.
Okay, interesting.
And the court even had this great line
mm-hmm.
where they said, one may be required to compensate another for benefits conferred
yeah.
when they stand silently by and permit the service to continue.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
So basically saying that sometimes your silence, your inaction can create an obligation to pay.
Exactly. It's not enough to just say no weakly.
Right.
You got to be really clear about your refusal.
You got to be clear and unequivocal.
Yeah.
So you're not stuck with a bill you don't want.
Yeah. Or else you could be on the hook for it later.
Okay. I'm starting to see why this case is so important.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson.
A really good lesson. So for our listeners out there, especially you law students.
Yeah.
What are some of the takeaways here? What are the big things to remember from Collins v. Lewis?
Well, first of all, I think it's a good reminder that property interests are complicated.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
Just because you don't have the deed in your hand or the title in your hand
right.
doesn't mean you don't have a legally protected interest.
Right.
And like we saw with Kin,
yeah.
those interests, even if they're not full ownership, they can still be subject to things like attachment.
Right. They can be legally significant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the second big thing, I think, is this whole idea of implied contracts.
Yeah. And this is huge. Right?
Huge. Doesn't have to be written down.
Yep.
Right.
It can be based on what you do or in some cases what you don't do.
Yeah. What you don't do.
Like in this case with Lewis.
If you know someone's doing you a favor mm-hmm. and they're expecting to get paid and you just sit there quietly, well, you might end up having to pay.
Right. Actions speak louder than words.
Totally.
Yeah. And the third thing I think is so important from this case is that idea of abandonment.
Right. Kinney walking away from the cows.
Yeah. Kinney just saying, I'm done with this.
Yeah. Not my problem anymore.
That shifted the focus to Lewis.
Right.
Right.
So it's really important who is responsible for the property at any given time.
Exactly.
That can really affect who's on the hook for costs and things like that.
Yeah. And finally, I think this case is just a great example of the courts trying to prevent
yeah.
what they see as an unfair outcome.
Right.
Unjust enrichment.
Unjust enrichment.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't going to let Lewis get away with
yeah.
benefiting from all that free cow care.
38 days of free cow care.
Right.
He had to pay up.
He had to pay up.
Yep. So for all of you future lawyers listening,
mm-hmm.
when you're looking at situations where there's no written contract, mm-hmm. think about the party's conduct.
Yeah.
Think about who accepted what benefit.
Right.
And whether they should have known payment was expected. And also remember, property law is about more than just who's holding the title.
Exactly.
It's about those other interests, too.
It's about possession. It's about those equitable interests.
Yeah, it's a really important concept.
It's not as simple as it seems.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me think, what if Lewis had acted differently?
Oh, interesting.
What if when Collins first called him and said, hey, I've got your cows,
yeah.
Lewis had said, nope, absolutely not. Those aren't my problem. I never agreed to take them back.
Yeah.
Like he just completely disavowed any responsibility.
Right.
Do you think the case would have come out differently?
That's a great question.
Would he have been off the hook for that $190 bill?
I don't know.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. It makes you think about how important it is to be proactive.
Yeah.
to communicate clearly.
Right.
And to make sure you're not accidentally accepting obligations you don't want.
Because as we learned from Collins v. Lewis, sometimes your silence can be really expensive.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Collins v. Lewis. Fascinating case.
Definitely a classic.
Always something to learn. And we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
See you then.